A Mother. Mr. Holohan of the Irish Music Society had walked around Dublin for nearly a month trying to arrange a series of concerts. But in the end, it was Mrs. Carney who arranged everything. Miss Devlin married and became Mrs. Carney to annoy her friends and family. She had been to a very good school, and she had learned French and music. She did not make friends easily. When she was old enough to think about marriage, her parents sent her to many musical evenings where she could show her skills on the piano and her perfect manners. She waited for a brave young man to come forward and offer her an exciting life. But the young men she met were ordinary, and she did not encourage them. However, she was getting older, and her friends started talking about her. So she stopped the talk by marrying Mr. Carney, who was a bootmaker. He was much older than her. His conversation, which was slow and serious, came through his great brown beard. After a year of marriage, Mrs. Carney realized that a man like this was a better husband than a romantic young man, but she still kept her old romantic ideas alive. Mr. Carney did not drink or spend money wildly and get into debt, and he went to church regularly. She sometimes went with him, and she was always a good wife to him. At a party in a strange house, she needed only to look at him once before he stood up, ready to leave. When he was ill, she put a blanket over his feet and made him a hot drink. He was also a perfect father and sent his daughters to good schools. The older daughter, Kathleen, learned French and music, and he paid for her to study at the College of Music. When it became the fashion to learn the Irish language, Mrs. Carney brought an Irish teacher to the house. Kathleen and her sister sent their friends picture postcards in Irish, and their friends sent other picture postcards back. On Sundays, there was sometimes a group of people outside the church after the service. They were all friends of the Carneys, musical friends or Irish nationalist friends, and they all shook hands and laughed and talked and said goodbye to one another in Irish. Soon, everyone was talking about Kathleen Carney. They said that she was excellent at music and was a very nice girl who also believed in using the Irish language as often as possible. Mrs. Carney was pleased with this. So she was not surprised when Mr. Holohan came to her house and asked for her daughter to be the accompanist on the piano for the four grand concerts that the Irish Music Society was organising. Mrs. Carney brought Mr. Holohan into the sitting room and took out a bottle of her finest whisky and her silver biscuit plate. She was soon very interested in the concerts and gave Mr. Holohan a lot of advice. Finally, they agreed that Kathleen would be paid £8 to accompany the singers at the four concerts. Mr. Holohan had never organised anything like this before, and he did not know how to advertise the concert. So Mrs. Carney helped him, and she also helped him with the programme. She knew which artists should have their names in big letters on the advertisements and which could have smaller letters. She knew that the best singer must not come on too early in the evening. She knew which artists were less popular, and she checked that they came in the right places in the programme. Mr. Holohan was at her house nearly every day for some advice, and he was always welcome. She often pushed the bottle of whisky towards him. "Help yourself, Mr. Holohan." Everything went smoothly. Mrs. Carney bought a lovely new dress for Kathleen. It was not cheap, but it was worth it. She bought some tickets for the last of the four concerts and sent them to some friends. She needed them to come. She forgot nothing, and, because of her, everything that needed to be done was done. The concerts were going to be at 8 o'clock on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday. When Mrs. Carney arrived at the concert hall with Kathleen on Wednesday, she was immediately a little worried. The young men who were there to show people to their seats were standing near the entrance, not doing anything. When she looked into the hall, Mrs. Carney understood why they were not busy. The hall was nearly empty. And she wondered if she had got the time wrong. No, it was 8:20. In the dressing room behind the stage, Mrs. Carney was introduced to Mr. Fitzpatrick, the secretary of the Irish Music Society. She smiled and shook his hand. He did not seem to be very worried. Mr. Holohan came into the dressing room and said that there were still not many people in the hall. At 8:30, Mr. Fitzpatrick came back into the dressing room and said to the artists,
"Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think we'd better start."
Mrs. Carney turned to her daughter.
"Are you ready, dear?"
she asked. When she had a moment, Mrs. Carney talked to Mr. Holohan and asked him what had gone wrong. Mr. Holohan said that the committee of the Irish Music Society had made a mistake. Four concerts were too many.
"And the artists we have tonight," said Mrs. Carney. "Of course, they're doing their best, but they're not very good."
Mr. Holohan agreed that they were not good, but the committee had decided to keep the best artists for Saturday. Mrs. Carney said nothing. But as the poor artists followed one another onto the stage and the number of people in the hall grew smaller, she began to feel sorry for spending money on the concerts. However, she decided to wait and said nothing. The concert ended just before 10, and everyone went home quickly. There were more people in the hall on Thursday, but Mrs. Carney saw at once that most of them had free tickets. They did not behave well, and talked while the artists were performing. During the evening, Mrs. Carney heard that the committee had decided to cancel Friday's concert. Then they could have more people in the hall on Saturday. She asked Mr. Holohan if this was true. He said it was.
"But of course," she said, "my daughter must still be paid for four concerts."
Mr. Holohan was in a hurry and advised her to talk to Mr. Fitzpatrick. Mrs. Carney was beginning to get very worried. She found Mr. Fitzpatrick and explained that her daughter had agreed to play for four concerts, and so she must be paid for four concerts. At first, Mr. Fitzpatrick did not seem to understand. Then, he said he would talk to the committee. on Friday, boys were sent out onto the streets of Dublin to give out advertisements for Saturday's concert. There were advertisements in the evening newspapers too. Mrs. Carney felt a little better, but she thought she should tell her husband why she was worried. He listened carefully and said that perhaps he should come with her and Kathleen to the concert on Saturday night. She agreed. She respected her husband in the same way she respected the post office, one of the grandest buildings in the centre of Dublin. They were both large and fixed, and you could trust them. Mr. Carney was not an intelligent man, but he was a male, and she was glad that he would be with her. On Saturday night, Mrs. Carney, with her husband and daughter, arrived at the hall 3/4 of an hour early. It was raining. She left Kathleen with her husband in the dressing room and went to look for Mr. Holohan or Mr. Fitzpatrick. She could not find either of them and returned to the dressing room. The artists were arriving. 2 men, both singers, were there. Mr. Duggan was a thin, shy young man from a poor Dublin family. He had once performed in an opera when another artiste had been ill. He had sung very well in the opera, but unfortunately he had wiped his nose on his white gloves once or twice, which had not looked good. Mr. Bell, the other singer, was a fair-haired little man who competed every year in the national music competition. In the 4th year, he won the 3rd prize. He was very nervous, but tried to hide it by being too friendly. When he saw Mr. Duggan, he went over to him and talked to him about the concert. Mrs. Carney passed the 2 men and went to the side of the stage to look out into the hall. The seats were filling up, and there was a pleasant noise of conversation. She came back to her husband in the dressing room. Kathleen was there, talking to one of her singer friends, Miss Healy. Another woman, who they did not recognise, with a pale face and an old-fashioned blue dress, walked past them. Someone said she was Mrs. Glynn, another singer. "Where did they find her?" said Kathleen to Miss Healy. "I've never heard of her." Miss Healy smiled. Mr. Holohan came into the dressing room and they asked him who the unknown woman was. Mr. Holohan said she was Mrs. Glynn from London. Mrs. Glynn stood in a corner of the room holding her music stiffly. Mrs. Carney followed Mr. Holohan out of the room and stopped him in the corridor. She asked him when her daughter was going to be paid. Mr. Holohan said that Mr. Fitzpatrick was responsible for money. Mrs. Carney said that she had made the agreement with Mr. Holohan, not Mr. Fitzpatrick. Her daughter had agreed to play for £8 and she must be paid. Mr. Holohan said that it was not his business.
"Why isn't it your business?" asked Mrs. Carney. "We agreed it all with you."
"You'd better speak to Mr. Fitzpatrick," repeated Mr. Holohan.
He left Mrs. Carney in the corridor and went to one of the back rooms. A journalist had come to write about the concert, and Mr. Holohan needed to give him a drink. While he was talking to the journalist, Mrs. Carney was talking angrily to her husband. The other people in the dressing room heard her, and they were worried about Kathleen now and not talking so much. Mr. Bell, who was the first artiste on the programme, was standing with his music, ready to go on the stage. The people in the concert hall were talking noisily because it was after 8 o'clock. but Kathleen did not move towards the stage. Mr. Holohan and the journalist came into the dressing room. Mr. Holohan saw Mrs. Kearney's angry face, realised that there was a problem, and came over to her. Mrs. Kearney repeated the same words several times.
She won't go on stage. She must get her £8.
Mr. Holohan, red and excited now, pointed towards the hall where people were now getting very annoyed. He tried to talk to Mr. Kearney and Kathleen. Mr. Kearney pulled on his beard, and Kathleen looked down at her shoes. It was not her fault. Mrs. Kearney repeated,
"She won't go on without her money."
Mr. Holohan ran out of the dressing room, and all conversation in the room stopped. But the noise in the hall was getting louder and louder. Then Mr. Holohan came running back into the room, followed by Mr. Fitzpatrick, who was carrying some money. He counted out £4 into Mrs. Kearney's hand. She would get the other £4 at the end of the first part of the concert, he said. Mrs. Kearney started to say something, but Kathleen turned away and said,
"Let's go, Mr. Bell."
They both went onto the stage. The noise in the hall stopped, and then the piano was heard. The first part of the concert was a great success, except for Mrs. Glynn, whose singing was rather old-fashioned, and some people even laughed at her. But they liked the other singers very much and clapped Kathleen. The first part ended with some nationalist poetry, spoken extremely well by a young actress. Everyone loved that. All this time, there was a lot of excitement in the dressing room. Everyone was talking about Kathleen. In one corner were Mr. Holohan, Mr. Fitzpatrick, the journalist and two of the singers. The journalist was shocked. "Kathleen's career in music was finished," he said. "She would never perform in Dublin again." He asked one of the singers what he thought, but he did not want to say anything. He had been paid, and he did not want to argue with anyone. But he did think that Mrs. Kearney was selfish. The other artists needed an accompanist, and could not perform without one. In another corner were Mrs. Kearney and her husband, Mr. Bell, Miss Healy, and the nationalist actress. Mrs. Kearney explained that the committee had treated her very badly. She had done a lot for the concert, and this was their answer. They thought that they could do what they liked with a girl. If Kathleen had been a man, they would not have treated her like this. Of course she was sorry for the artistes, but what else could she do? She asked Mr. Bell what he thought, and he agreed with her. She asked Miss Healy what she thought, but Miss Healy did not know what to say. She wanted to join the group in the other corner, but she was a great friend of Kathleen's and had often been to her house. A few minutes after the first part of the concert had ended, Mr. Fitzpatrick and Mr. Holohan went over to Mrs. Kearney and told her that the other £4 would be paid after the committee meeting on Tuesday. But if Kathleen did not play for the second part of the concert, they would pay nothing more.
"My daughter will get £4 now," said Mrs. Kearney angrily, "or she won't go back on stage."
"I'm surprised, Mrs. Kearney," said Mr. Holohan. "I never thought you would treat us like this."
"And how have you treated me?" asked Mrs. Kearney. Her face was now red, and she looked ready to attack someone. Then she spoke again, copying Mr. Holohan's voice and words.
Oh, you must talk to Mr. Fitzpatrick. It's not my business. You must wait for the committee.
And I thought you were a lady,
said Mr. Holohan, very angry to hear her copying his voice, and he walked away quickly. After that, everyone agreed that Mrs. Carney was wrong and the committee was right. Mrs. Carney stood by the door, arguing with her daughter and husband. She waited until it was time for the second part of the concert to begin, hoping that the committee would change its mind. But Miss Healy had kindly agreed to accompany the singers, and Mrs. Carney had to move so that they could go out onto the stage. The music started, and Mrs. Carney turned to her husband.
Get a cab.
He went out at once. Mrs. Carney and her daughter followed, Kathleen's eyes fixed on the ground. As she passed through the door, Mrs. Carney said to Mr. Holohan,
I'm not finished with you yet.
But I'm finished with you, he said.
Mr. Holohan began to walk up and down the room, feeling as if his face was on fire and trying to find some cool air for it.
And I thought she was a lady. Oh, she's a nice lady, he said. A nice lady.
You did the right thing, Holohan, said the journalist.